The advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. When sin is affecting you and pulling you, you'll make bad decisions. It's kind of weird because, you know, Ahithophel is given bad, good advice. He's given bad, wise advice. Hushai is given advice that's going to bring to Absalom, he's going to bring to his defeat, and yet he takes the wrong advice.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today in the studio, we have one of David's associate pastors, D.A. Brown. Welcome, brother.
Hey, Bob, I want to take a minute to pray for some of our stations and cities in the listening audience. Pray with me if you don't mind. Sitka, Alaska, Black Canyon City, Bullhead City, Camp Verde, Clifton, Globe and Phoenix, Groom Creek, and Prescott, Arizona. God, we thank you for these cities. We pray that many people would tune in and listen to your word today. God, if there are some dealing with sickness in the area, we pray that you would please heal them. God, we pray that some would put their trust in you today and receive your gift of salvation. God, we pray for revival in these cities, that people would be stirred up to follow you and to return to your word. And Lord, we pray for the churches and the pastors in the area. We pray that you give the pastors wisdom and discernment, and that the congregations would just explode with your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, brother. Well, as we go into 2 Samuel chapter 17 today, what are some of the points that Pastor David will be talking about?
Pastor David is going to remind us that sin can blind us to making good decisions. It spirals and it gets out of control, Bob.
Well, let's find out how that works as we listen to David McGee continue teaching through 2 Samuel, starting at chapter 17.
We're looking at the life of David. We're in the midst, Absalom is in the midst of rebelling against David. Absalom is David's son, and yet he's not hesitating to divide the kingdom of God because of his own selfishness. And some people have joined with Absalom, including the people who joined with Absalom, is this man Ahithophel, who is a very wise person, has been a godly man, but something took him off track. And we're going to move quickly through the first two-thirds of this chapter and get to what I think is the real meat of what we can, our takeaway tonight. But let's remember, Ahithophel was an extremely gifted man, extremely wise man. As a matter of fact, let's open up with 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. It's the last verse of the preceding chapter before chapter 17. Verse 23 says, "Now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." Chapter 17, verse 1. "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid. And all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king. Then I will bring back all the people to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace.'" So Ahithophel, it says he gives wise counsel as if the oracles of God. What that means is it's like God speaking. Such wisdom comes from this man. You know, part of what we're going to see in this chapter is Absalom, you know, Absalom isn't a strong leader. He's not a godly leader. And what happens with somebody who's not a godly leader and not a strong leader, when they get in a position of power, they don't know what to do. They don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to train up other leaders. They don't know how to listen to wise counsel. It's almost like, you know, with a dog chasing a car, that, you know, he doesn't know what to do when he catches it. You know, Absalom, he wanted to find himself in power. He finds himself in power. And what we're going to see is he doesn't really know what to do. So Ahithophel is offering this counsel, and it's extremely wise counsel. Ahithophel's saying, you know what, the key's David. If you take David out, the rest of the people will follow you. And certainly we see the scripture talks about smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. So Ahithophel's offering this counsel. And so if you take David out, you're going to avoid a civil war. And it's good counsel. And you know what we're going to see? David was weak. David was tired. David was vulnerable at this point. But you remember, David had prayed that the counsel of Ahithophel would be brought to foolishness or nonsense. Let's watch. Verse 4. "And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel." Man, Ahithophel just said, "I'm going to get the one guy and strike him down." This is Absalom's father. And Absalom hears this and it says, it pleased Absalom. You see how cold? I mean, they're talking about killing his father. This is what happens. When rebellion gets cranking in your heart, you look at people that actually love you and care about you, and you look at them in this cold-natured way. And Absalom's looking at, in rebellion, looking at his father going, you know what, let's take him out. How do you feel about your earthly father or your stepfather? How do you feel about him? You know, if you're a teenager or a young adult, you're still going through these things, and, you know, dad's probably still offering you more advice than you really want to hear, really want to take. Be careful in this rebellion. Because Absalom probably didn't plan to be this rebellious and to take his father out in the beginning. No, he just didn't like his dad's authority. And over time, it got worse, and it got worse, and it got worse. Verse 5. Then Absalom said, now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too. Now let's remember, okay, Ahithophel's given extremely wise counsel. It's bad counsel because he's telling him to kill King David, but it's wise counsel. Now maybe you're sitting there going, well, wait a minute, is it bad counsel or is it wise counsel? No. There can be wise bad counsel. There can be bad counsel that's wisdom that is not what you should do. And again, that's why you should make sure that you're talking to a mature, fruitful Christian who's given you counsel, because you can get bad counsel that seems like the thing to do. Because here, you know, it's the wrong thing to do, and yet brilliant in its strategy, just like, you know, the advice of Ahithophel in the last chapter. Now, this is interesting too, but let's remember, you know, David has sent Hushai into the presence of Absalom really to kind of, you know, to kind of infiltrate the rebellion, and to, he's a spy for David, if you will. But look at Absalom. Absalom has just heard it's the most brilliant plan we're going to see in this chapter. But what does he do? Well, let's see what Hushai has to say. You know, as I read this, I thought, man, isn't that just like us? Because, you know, sometimes we'll be in the midst of a situation or have a decision to make, and we're talking to somebody, and they, you know, you say, well, why do you know, what should I do? And then they tell us what to do, and you go, well, okay, that sounds like good advice. It's certainly biblical. I'm going to go ask somebody else what they think. You know, we turn from the godly biblical counsel. Or how often we're at that crossroads, and we see a scripture, and we go, oh, yeah, boy, that speaks right to the situation in my life. I don't want to listen. I'm going to talk to somebody else and see. You know, and here's the thing. If you ask enough people, you're going to get to hear the answer you want to hear. If God has told you to do something and you really don't want to do it, you go around enough people and you're going to find somebody who goes, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, amen. Amen. You're like the 71st person I had to talk to get, I shouldn't do it, but praise God I found it. Now I don't have to do it. Even when somebody's giving you a hard word, you know, that you really don't want to hear, there's a sense sometimes of, oh man, this is from the Lord. This is God's talking to me. He loves me enough to spank me, and he's busting my chops, and I'm going to listen. And God's word is an incredible counsel in itself. So be careful. When you're getting counsel, use wisdom, use discernment, use the Bible, use mature Christians around you. Verse 6, and when Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up. So Hushai said to Absalom, the advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. Notice that qualifier, at this time. For, said Hushai, you know your father and his men, that they are mighty men, and they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say there is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom. Meaning if you go in to extract him and some of your guys get killed, people are going to hear that you're losing. In verse 10, and even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men. Therefore I advise, verse 11, therefore I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person. Now it's interesting what Hushai is saying and what he's doing. And you can see he's kind of mixing the truth with some wisdom with what really is, it's bad counsel. Because here's what's happening. Hushai, who cares for David, who loves David as his king, he's buying David some time. Because if Absalom took Ahithophel's advice, David is in a desperate situation. His men are tired. They're hungry. They're on the run. They're not organized. And had they pursued them, this book would have worked out differently. But Hushai, he kind of mixes the truth in, and notice he mixes in a little flattery. Oh yeah, get big army. And Absalom, you lead us. And Absalom's like, yeah, yeah, that sounds good. I like this. I'll lead you guys. Now, Absalom was not a warrior. His father was a warrior. Been in many battles, battle proven, but not Absalom. And so, you know, Hushai, he's flattering Absalom to lead the army. And what we're seeing is David's prayer being answered. Again, David, you know, said, well, may the counsel of Ahithophel come to foolishness through Hushai. Verse 12. So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground. And of him and all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he is withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So let's understand the distinctive difference. Ahithophel is saying, go and do this surgical removal of David. Don't get in a battle with all his guys, and then bring all his guys back into your fold. Hushai is giving completely different counsel. He's saying, you know what, let's wait. Let's gather an army. Let's take on everybody who's with David. Now, there's a couple problems with this. Number one, you're going to have it's civil war. You're going to have brother fighting brother, dad fighting son, son fighting father. And Hushai probably realizes it. So there's the counsel. And Absalom finds himself in a place, you know what, that we often find ourselves in. Somebody says one thing, somebody else says something else. Now, sometimes this is a real easy thing. You know, if you're sitting here in the night and, you know, and you're feeling tempted to go out and do something silly after, or you can go home and read some more of your Bible and listen to worship music, that's a fairly easy decision, right? I mean, you know, go out and party and do stupid things or go home and be spiritual. I mean, I think everybody in here would at least know the decision they should make, whether they would make the right one or not. But sometimes things happen where it's really difficult. It's between two good things. I remember, you know, before we started the home Bible study, you know, I was getting some offers to go on to other churches, and I was trying to figure out, well, God, do you want me to do that and then come back here and start a home Bible study, or what do you want me to do? You know? And it was interesting because I was digging through some tapes and I found a recording of a teaching I did out in California, and this church, just awesome church, great ministry. And they always really loved on me when we came through there. And I looked at it and I thought, man, if these people called and made an offer, that would probably be the Lord, you know. The next morning, I got an email from that church saying, hey, you know what? We hear that you're praying about what to do. We'd like to offer your position. Can you please call us? And I called him. He's like, oh, man, you know, we'll hook you up, house, car, benefits, package, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, wow. I think that's God. I hope that's God. Because keep in mind, the decision I had was to either take that position, they would pay moving expenses and that whole thing, or stay here and start home Bible study that I didn't know when, if ever, God would ever use that to take care of the needs of the family. But I prayed about it, sought counsel of some other brothers, and God had me to do what didn't seem like it made a lot of sense. So here's Absalom, he's at the crossroads. And so when you're at a crossroads, pray through it, talk to other people, look at the Bible, ask other mature believers.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be back with more in just a moment. But first, if you haven't been to our website at crossthebridge.com yet, what are you waiting for? Go to crossthebridge.com to learn more about how listeners like you are helping get the life-changing truth of God's Word to more people through the radio, internet, and mobile technologies. At crossthebridge.com, you can also check out our broadcast schedule, listen to more teaching from Pastor David, and sign up for Pastor David's free daily devotional. And there's more there too. So visit crossthebridge.com today. Now, here's Pastor David as he continues sharing verse by verse.
Verse 14. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. The life lesson here, sin can make you stupid. Sin can make you stupid. I mean, that is just, and I'm not just talking about when, you know, like your own drugs or you're drinking or something. Obviously, you know, you can get fairly stupid during those times. When sin is affecting you and pulling you, you'll make bad decisions. And Ahithophel, through the Hushai flattery and stuff, he's about to make a bad decision. And it's kind of weird because, you know, Ahithophel is given bad, good advice. He's given bad, wise advice. Hushai is given advice that's going to bring to Absalom, he's going to bring to his defeat, and yet he takes the wrong advice. That's another thing. You know, when you get to the crossroads, understand, is there something that's pulling you to one decision or another? And is that a good thing? See, sometimes you can want to do a good thing for the wrong reason, like taking the position in California. It would have been so that I could have resources to provide for my family. Not altogether a bad thing, but is that the number one thing? No, God said, you know what? Make me a priority, the kingdom of God a priority. I'll take care of all the rest of the stuff. So here's Absalom receiving this advice. God is having his way. God is not tricking Absalom. Absalom is well on his way in this rebellion. And I know that along that way, God probably tried to convict Absalom. And said, Absalom, don't do this. I'm going to do it. Absalom, you're not supposed to be king. I want to be king. Be careful when you get in that position. And God says, don't do this. You go, no, I want to do it. Because the worst thing that can happen is God to go, okay, do it. Go for it, bud. And that's what's going on with Absalom. God's going, oh, you want to be king? Okay, told you no, told you not to. But notice in the midst of this, God is using Absalom, God is using Ahithophel, God is using Hushai to bring about his will in the whole situation. That's part of the mystery, isn't it? How does God do that? I don't know. I mean, that's a rhetorical question. I'm not getting ready. Well, I'll tell you how God does it. Yeah, a lot of times people think pastors know everything. They don't know everything. They know some really good questions, but you know, so here God is going to work out something good in the life of David, in the life of Hushai, in the midst of this horrible situation. It reminds me of the verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And it says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Now, please notice, there is a qualifier to that statement. What I mean by that, a lot of people go, well, you know, all things work together for the good, and then they stop. That's not what the verse says. It says, all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So if you love God, God will use everything in your life, good, bad, and indifferent, for your betterment and for your purposes, which is an amazing thing. How does he do that? I don't know, but he sure does it well, doesn't he? I mean, you can be in the midst of something and then you go, well, I just don't understand what God's doing. You get 6 months down the road, a year down the road, 2 years down the road, and you go, oh God, you know what? I see what you were doing now. And so this counsel of Ahithophel is brought to nothing. Psalm 33:10 says this, the Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. You know, as I pondered that verse, you understand something? Do you understand God doesn't need our advice? Do you ever pray those prayers where you're really giving God advice? Oh, come on. Nobody does that. I know I do it all the time. You like if you're praying for somebody to get saved and you say, Lord, save that person. And then you continue on. And here's how you need to do it, God. I'm going to invite them to church and you bring them to church on Sunday morning. They'll come forward and they'll receive Jesus. Hey, okay, so that's what you got to do, God. I got the plan. Put it all together for you. Here. You know, and the next thing you hear, the guy's getting busted or something's gone wrong in his life. And you're like, God, what are you doing? God, I gave you the plan. And you're not following a plan. I gave you a really good plan. I thought it through. God doesn't need your advice. Let me ask you a question. How many people in here did God consult before he started creating in the heavens and the earth? No, I know. He didn't consult me either. I'm still in therapy over it. But no, I'm kidding. We should give our ear to the Lord to see what he wants to do in a situation. Verse 15, then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly. And tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed in Rogel, for they dared not be seen coming into the city. So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. So there's this communication chain that's beginning to happen, trying to get to David. So Jonathan and Ahimaaz are trying to get to him. They come to this place, to this lady's house, verse 18. Nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Baruim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Now, there was well and there were cisterns. Wells, you know, generally had a spring, fresh water. Cisterns usually would collect rainwater. This is probably rainwater. It was probably dry, I would guess. verse 19. Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, "Where are Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" So the woman said to them, "They have gone over the water brook," and when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. You know, as I looked at this, I thought, was this an act of civil disobedience? Well, it's not really civil disobedience because David's still king. Absalom's not really king. By civil disobedience, what I mean is that you're disobeying the rules or the regulations or the laws of the land because you find them in conflict to your spiritual and biblical beliefs. And I think there's a time and a place for that. But this is not really civil disobedience. They're obeying the true king, the real king. Verse 21, now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, "Arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you." So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan by morning light. Not one of them was left who had not gone over the Jordan. David's a smart guy. And he gets the information. Why, let me ask you a question. Absalom had already said he was going to take the counsel of Hushai. But Hushai turns around and sends these messengers and says, this is what Ahithophel told him to do. Why did he do that? Because as a leader, David was a leader, Hushai was a leader, they needed to plan for the worst case scenario. So they, you know, because at any moment Absalom could say, you know what, I've rethought this, and we're not going to listen to Hushai, we're going to listen to the counsel of Ahithophel, and we're going to listen to his counsel. And David would have been in trouble. So when he sent the message, he said, well, this is what Ahithophel says. Now notice what David does. Verse 22, he got good information. He acted on it. He didn't sit there and go, well, I hope he's going to listen to Hushai. I'm just going to sit down here and rest. When you get good information, act on it. Move on it. And when you get good advice from a mature, fruitful believer, move out on it and act on it. When you have God speak to you through his word, through a verse, move out on it and act on it. That's what David did. Now we come to really, you know, I read this passage for years, and to be honest, I didn't understand it. Verse 23, now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. And he was buried in his father's tomb. Now, this is a weird verse. I read this verse for years and really didn't. I thought, what? Ahithophel is supposed to be this wise person, and this is his response? I don't understand it. Now, let's go ahead and get something out of the way. I believe that suicide is wrong. I believe that you're inviting yourself to a level that God has not invited you to. When you take your own life, that's deciding your time in going to die. And I think that's wrong. I think that's sin. I think it's one of the most more selfish things you can do because you hurt yourself, you hurt people around you. Now, that being said, there is no biblical or scriptural evidence that someone that takes their life is destined to an eternity without God. No scriptural evidence. Because I've heard believers go up to people who have taken their lives, or worse yet, to family members who've taken their lives, and told them that their family member was not in heaven. That's wrong. Now, how do you go to heaven? You believe in Jesus, you ask him to forgive you of your sins. Period. Again, suicide is wrong. But if any of us die while we're committing sin or in the midst of committing a sin, are you telling me that that destines all of us not to go to heaven? I'm sorry, I can't believe that a merciful God that I have a relationship with would do that. And yet I've heard such horror stories. I talked to a lady one day and her father, who was a born-again believer, just got to a place where he was overwhelmed with life and he took his own life. And as she was in the receiving line at the funeral home, a pastor came through and said, "Gee, isn't it too bad that your dad is in hell tonight?" That's messed up. Now again, it's wrong. It's very selfish to do. And look, if you're sitting there going, "Well, I don't agree with that," hey, shoot me an email. Include a chapter and a verse in that email. If you're not going to include a verse in the email, I'm sorry, don't, you know, I'm just looking at the Word of God. So let's deal with that.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's home church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com.
That sounds good, Pastor D.A., and again, it's been great to have you with us on the program today. But tell us, what else can our listeners find on crossthebridge.com?
Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. And thank you for listening. We hope you'll join us again next time as we continue studying verse by verse through 2 Samuel.